anybody watching this wants to know, because maybe they don't understand marketing, or maybe they don't understand advertising with a smaller budget, and maybe they don't have access to a John Lee. When people talk about like, oh, like, you know, you need to build a team, I'm like, yeah, you need a John Lee.
Even if you have someone like me, then can you afford the tool on top that I need to use to go do that? Because I can't build that tool for you. I can give you strategy. I can find maybe cheaper ways of trying to do the same thing. But man, like, if I had access, the budget would be like, hey, let's use this tool that I would use for this company because they could pay for it for you. That would change the game.
Hey, what's going on? Welcome to the McCove Mindset Podcast. This week, we are sitting down with my guy, Jonathan Lee. He's a data-driven and growth-focused digital marketer with over 15 years of experience working for agencies like Critical Mass and Evans & Hunt. As a mentor and a speaker, he's worked with multiple organizations such as Canada's Music Incubator and the Juno Awards. And as a songwriter, he's worked with both independent and major label artists. He's recently moved into the world of sync, where he's garnered placements with the NFL, NBC Universal, and Peacock. Really looking forward to getting to this episode with you guys. As always, if you like what you hear, hit like, hit subscribe, leave a comment, and let me know what you think. Let's get to it. Why are we behind in terms of marketing and marketing agencies and like how we get our music out? Like, how are we behind the ball on this? Why?
So I could be wrong, but the way that I look at it from being, you know, a songwriter who does this professionally, but also having the weird in between of working at these big marketing agencies on corporate clients and then working with music clients, is that unfortunately it's kind of like a chicken and an egg problem. A lot of the people that have worked in music marketing departments, they don't have that background of working on corporate. And the difference between working in corporate is Nike's always had to compete against Adidas. Toyota has always had to compete against Honda. So that innovation in and of itself leads to technology improvements and innovations and creating frameworks, like literally like, oh, like for example, this is a very simple like example, and it might not 100% be accurate, but for many years, and I'm not actually sure right now, Bandcamp wouldn't let you put a Facebook pixel on its page, which is ridiculous. Because you can't, because then a music person couldn't remarket to that, right? And that would require somebody at Bandcamp understanding what artists need to do to be able to remarket their music and get back to fans. Now, the question is, was that a conscious decision or is that a lack of understanding? Just because they,
right.
And who is that person making those decisions, let's say, at that place? And I'm not trying to throw Bandcamp under a bus or anything like that, but it's something to me where like, anybody who was working in any other field in digital marketing would have been like, this is a huge gap. Now, that might be a decision, a conscious decision on Bandcamp's decision to be like, we're not allowing a pixel on here because we don't agree with what Meta or Facebook is doing. That could have been a decision, but I don't know whether it's a conscious decision or whether it's a decision out of ignorance or lack of expertise. So,
yeah, that I feel that. I feel that friction, like maybe there's not enough like people that actually use the products that get to have their input heard. Because I just learned, right, that like if you're on Instagram and you make a post, like, so you know how you can like make it so that if you post to Instagram, it also posts to Meta,
yeah,
Facebook. So I'm like, all right, that is the same company, like whatever. If I make a post that's a reel on Instagram and I go to share it, and it shares to Facebook, if you wanted to promote that post, if you wanted to boost that post or whatever, it will say to you, you cannot boost this. You can't boost like any reels that have also been shared to Facebook. And I'm like, this doesn't make any sense to me.
Yeah.
What, why would I not be able to do that when even they're under the same umbrella?
Legalities, to be honest. A lot of it is just like, yeah, for lack of a better word. But it's, this is where like the thing comes in about music marketing, is that there isn't necessarily a technological framework to do some of the really advanced stuff. Problem also is the money that's available is concentrated in different places. It's either way up, it's either way at the highest levels where they have a lot of budget, and then there's this huge middle gap where nobody has the money. And because nobody has the money, then it's very possible that they don't want to invest in the technological structure for those people to market better because there's no money there. So it's like a chicken and egg thing, right? Like somebody has to start it, right? And then on top of that is there's a whole bunch of music marketers who have only worked in the music industry. So they only understand an old school way of doing it when you could just throw up an ad and people would buy stuff, right? They have no idea about you need to create awareness first and loyalty, and then eventually that becomes a purchase. They don't quite understand that. They want to move what we call in the, like, this is getting very technical, but there's such a thing called a marketing funnel. I don't know whether you've seen that before. It's an upside down triangle.
Yeah.
And and this is essential for any product, is you have to become aware of something, then you have to consider it, doing your research, then you have to purchase it, and then there's post-purchase or loyalty. The problem is that a lot of music places and a lot of artists, independent artists and labels, lots of people who don't understand, they try to move right to the middle of the funnel or the bottom of the funnel, which is the bottom of the triangle. They try to get the purchase right away. So they advertise just for the purchase. The problem is like they don't realize they have to create loyalty and awareness first to go do that. It's like for, I like to use this example. I was at a conference last week and I asked some of the artists, well, if you have a friend in your life and they ask you for a favor, if this friend isn't checking in on you, they never hear, you never hear from them or anything like that, and then they ask you to do a favor, are you more likely to do a favor for that friend, or are you more likely to do a favor for a friend who you see every week, you hang out with them, you get to know them? When they make the ask, you're way more likely to give them the favor, right? This is the exact same problem if we apply it to the music industry today. Everybody tries to move to, hey, will you do me a favor before doing any of that legwork to build the relationship? And the music industry doesn't understand that because they never had to do the legwork to build that before. They would just be like, hey, here's my ad about when this is touring, or hey, this is this. And it used to be able to print money. That this isn't the case anymore. So that's why. And then with the proliferation of social media and everybody, their mom and their dad and their dog is an artist, now there's just increased mass as well. So how do you cut through? The only way you can cut through is create loyalty and then lead down to the purchase, or to the stream, or to whatever the conversion point is. And when I say conversion, that means just the intended action. That's the problem that the music industry is running into. But to do some of that stuff, to create the loyalty and then be able to get back to those people, you need those technological frameworks to be able to remarket, to get back to those people. And sometimes that technology doesn't exist either for that framework. So these are multiple compiling problems, from the lack of understanding to technology changes, to there not being enough money to fund the technological frameworks. So this is the whole cycle of why these things aren't necessarily working, at least from my opinion, from what I see from my past experience of working in corporate marketing, in ad agency, big ad agency marketing.
That is so crazy because, you know, I'm just getting my first taste at all this, right? Like in terms of the corporate stuff. I'm like, it's interesting. It puts me in like a sort of a interesting position, but I feel like it's a unique position, right? It might not be, but I feel like being in meetings about like with the marketing agencies and the advertising agencies and being the person who's like the independent artist who is like more of like on the creative side of things, I think, like, sometimes I think it's to my benefit that I don't understand necessarily all. It's like I understand those frameworks, but I don't know them. You know what I mean? So I don't think about things through that lens.
Yeah.
So I would just be throwing out ideas. So I'm like, oh, like there's the idea. And then someone comes back and lets me know like, oh yeah, that will work. Or this is why, you know, we cannot do it that way. And I'm like, okay, cool. We can't do it that way. So now let me like problem solve a different way. So it's like a unique space to be in, but that corporate stuff is, I feel like it's so much different than the independent.
Yeah.
And I think that like, maybe like, do you see, I don't want to say what I think. Do you think that independent artists can use any of the stuff that the corporate structure uses, or like they're completely separate things and you can't really overlay them?
There is an overlay for sure, but that overlay requires you to get very good at digital marketing, so that, and knowing the structures of that. So that overlay does exist.
Okay, so what, tell me, John, what is digital marketing? Okay.
But the majority of that, just that is what we're talking about. Like, there's some that does overlay, but there's a huge massive chunk that doesn't, because there aren't companies or digital platforms that are developing the technological framework to do it at a cheaper price than what an independent artist can afford. If they're not independently wealthy, right, or if they're not having a side job that they can fund into that. And then if they were going to spend their own money and they work and they put into it, then they should be confident that the technology that has been developed will actually do what it needs to do. Right. And that's the problem about the industry, about the wealth being so segmented between the very high up and then the massive gap in between. That is a part of one of the compounding larger issues with why now someone's going to figure this out, and people are trying to solve this. But this is like one of the big issues that like most people probably won't understand, just only through the reason of like, just like, this is really deep type of understanding of marketing and technology type of stuff, which you don't.
So I want to take us there, because like some of our audience, and even myself, you know, like, we all want to know, you know, I think anybody watching this wants to know, because maybe they don't understand marketing, or maybe they don't understand advertising, and like what they reasonably have access to as an independent with a smaller budget. And maybe they don't have access to a John Lee. You know, maybe they're not friends with somebody like you, and they could be like, yo, come on my podcast. Then let's just like chop it up. You know, like having someone like you, like when people talk about like, oh, like, you know, you need to build a team. I'm like, yeah, you need a John Lee.
But even if you have someone like me, the issue also comes into the sense of like, then can you afford the tool on top that I need to use to go do that? Because I can't build that tool for you, right? Like, so it's like extra things. Like, I can give you strategy. I can find maybe cheaper ways of trying to do the same thing as much as can. We can try to patchwork it. And it does work. Don't get me wrong. But man, like, if I had access to like, or just the budget to be like, hey, let's use this tool that I would use for this company because they could pay for it for you, that would change the game. But then you see things that are happening where it is sort of changing. Like, for example, when Chartmetric moved to a personal plan where people could individually go research Spotify playlists, because it used to be only for labels, and that would cost $100 a month or something like that. And someone might not be able to afford that, but now there's a personal plan that costs $10 a month.
$10. Yeah, $10.
Yeah, so you can research out your Spotify playlist and who to pitch and stuff like that. Like, those are slow shifts and change. Like, Chartmetric is one of those where they're trying to start shifting, right? To be able to adapt to, hey, we could have one label pay for this at $100 a month or $500 or $1,000 a month, or we could get 1,000 independent people paying $10 a month and that'll make us more money. Right. That's their thought process, I would assume. I could be wrong, but that kind of makes sense. It's a quantity play now and a volume game sometimes with this stuff too. So yeah, so it is really important to be able to get together your team. But at the end of the day, there's also something about like, you don't always need all this advanced stuff. Some of the stuff is as simple as if you're getting emails, anybody can get an email from a show. So it comes down to creativity. Like, if you get an email, then there's a lot you can do with it. You can upload those emails into advertising, and then you can advertise to people. You can do just your regular mailing list, right? So there's still things that before you ever get to that advanced level, there's still basics that people aren't doing. There's still basics that people aren't doing in terms of like building up their fan base. There's basics even on the creative side, right? Like, outside of my marketing experience, like as a songwriter who writes professionally for people, they're not doing sometimes the work even musically. Like, you will hear TikTok songs that go viral, and a lot of those songs, when you hear the full song past the 10 or 30 second clip, is not a good song. And then you see that person perform, and you can clearly tell they have not put in their 10,000 hours or even their 100, 200 hours on the stage. Like, you can see that. So there are things within their control that they're not doing to build their fans ever before we even talk about them not having the technology to run things, right? Right. You have to have a good product first. It doesn't matter if you have all the technology and all those type of things. If your product is fundamentally flawed, which might be your music or your ability to perform, then it doesn't matter if you have all this other stuff. You can get somewhat far, but you can't get to the promised land or whatever that is, whatever you see, if you're not working on the fundamental things that have always been important in the music industry. Good songs, be a good live performer, do your work, hopefully be a person of integrity and character, even though there's plenty of people that make it that don't, right? These are all things that are within someone's control, right? That are not outside of these things that they can't control, like tech companies and companies giving you tools. Those are things that are outside of their control. Eventually,
I love that. Focus on the things that you can control.
Yeah, there's plenty that they're not doing. So if you've done all those things and then there's that thing, then yeah, there's things that you can do after that. But you need to start with the basis, which is still at the end of the day, the music you're creating for whatever purpose you're creating it for. The day and age that we live in too are all contributing factors to this type of thing, because we all know, like, you know, there's that proverb, you know, that comparison is the thief of joy, right? So that's the thing that we're running into too, right?
And we're not letting nobody steal our joy, because this podcast is sponsored by Joy Burst, the Joy Burst talent competition. You know it. The Joy Burst talent competition is running right now. It actually just got extended. So the Joy Burst talent competition now is running until the end of March, right? You can go on a TikTok, go to Instagram. You can sing anything about joy. If you're an instrumentalist, play. Has to be about, you know, just the place of joy. And then hashtag Joyburst Talent Search, upload it. The Joyburst team will find it, and that will qualify you for an opportunity to win $10,000 cash and maybe some other opportunities too. So yes, definitely. Hashtag Joyburst Talent Search. Go show your love of music and don't let any comparison be the thief of your joy. Had to get that in there, John.
Nicely done.
You know, like, I'm like, yo.
It worked. It was good. That wasn't even intentional. Nice segue. But yeah, that's the thing that we're running into today. There's so many different factors, but it's just people don't understand that it's not build it and they will come type of environment anymore for music.
So help them understand, help me understand, help us all understand, John, about, like, you said that problem is people don't know how to identify their target audience. Yeah. How do you identify your target audience?
So there's a lot of different things that you can do, right? And it's work, right? I guess the first thing that, you know, the thing that I always teach, whether I'm speaking at conferences or whether I am, you know, we're both faculty at the Songwriting Academy, like whether I'm teaching stuff there, with everywhere that I go when I'm teaching types of marketing, and this extends beyond just music marketing, because this is just marketing in general, is understanding the behaviors and who your target market is. So if we specifically talk about musicians and artists trying to find their target market, there's two ways of starting with it. And I'll explain. So one of them starts with knowing who you are yourself and knowing why you're an artist, why you do what you do, understanding your brand. So what I like to show is, like, one of the diagrams that I always like to use is like two concentric circles and there's an overlap, right? And that's that over. And we've all seen this.
We call that a Venn diagram in the United States.
we also call that in Canada, but I did not have the. Yes. So the Venn diagram. And the place where the two circles overlap is really important. And one of the circles is who you are as an artist. The other one is who your audience is. And if you remember when I said brand is authentically communicating who you are.
Those things keep you going and they keep you motivated. If everyone around you in your circle is just sort of like the energy is down and nobody's like supporting each other.
Yeah, or when they don't.
Yeah.
And then you might be around the wrong people if they aren't celebrating you and your wins. Right? Because, like, I remember when you did the Joyburst stuff and the Billboard article came out, and I read through the whole Billboard. I was just like, this is so cool that, like Billboard is writing about something that, like, one of my homies has done, right? Like, that is, like, yeah. You just need to have people that love you. People love you enough to tell you the truth, but also celebrate your wins, right? And sometimes you don't. So that's the unique thing, right? So yeah, no, it was really, really cool. It was so cool when I saw you do that early in the year. And then for this one, it kind of dawned on me. It didn't really hit me because we'd already gotten a placement on that same song on an NBC Peacock show, but it was a streaming thing. So I already knew people had listened to it, but it was a whole different feeling. And I didn't really realize it until after it aired, maybe a day, because it ran for a whole week. And I realized my name's on there, but more so than just my name on there, just I realized in that moment, because it's a conference finals game, literally millions of people have heard, millions upon millions of people worldwide have heard something that I've written. And that was
isn't that crazy, man?
This is crazy. That's something that it didn't really hit me.
The reality didn't hit you yet.
Yeah, for a day or two. And then I just oh dang, millions of people have heard it, which is really, really cool.
Bro, thank you so much for taking the time out to sit with me. We've been talking for a little over an hour. I want to be mindful of your time. Thank you so much for coming to do the podcast, for chatting, for given advice, not only just about the marketing and everything like that, but just also how you have to be mindful of yourself, the people that you're around. And man, I'm glad that we're friends.
Me too. Friendship. Good.
Yeah.
Friendship equals good, people. If you take nothing else from this podcast, it is good to have friends.
Right. And good friends.
Good friends. Real friends.
Real friends. Yeah.
Real friends.
Word. Well, I appreciate you for being on, man.
Thank you, sir. Thank you.